Hi and welcome to our third episode of our podcast Psykologi.
Today we are speaking English because we are at the Clubhouse International World Seminar in Lillestrøm.
Right now we are here with Joe Corcoran. What is your role here at this conference?
Well, thank you, Stephen and Julie. I am the executive director of Clubhouse International. So Clubhouse International is the organization that holds the World Seminar every 2 years in conjunction with Clubhouse hosts from the local region. So here, Fountain House Oslo and Clubhouse Norway are our partners in putting on the World Conference for Clubhouses across the world. So we will have, over the course of these 5 days, 44 workshops, 90-minute training sessions, along with 8 one-hour general sessions, and tomorrow 4 3-hour institutes, all about Clubhouse practice, how best to help people living with mental illness regain control over their lives and to end social and economic isolation for people with mental illness in our very special way called Clubhouse, which is, of course, as you know, Clubhouse is designed to be a community building center for people living with mental illness so that we can focus on the things that are important to our Clubhouse members and things like employment, education, all that. So we're talking about all the things that you guys know, and we're trying to cross train each other and to lift all Clubhouses up.
Great. And today we are doing a lot of interviews with people from different Clubhouses around the world.
Let's hear what they had to say.
My name is Renny, and I come from Hong Kong.
My name is Michael Hoban, and I'm from Calgary, Canada.
My name is Valetta. I'm from New York.
I'm Teresa Filadeli from Buenos Aires, Argentina. And we're starting a new clubhouse it's called Casa Club Baires.
I come from the Kilehuset Fountain House in Denmark.
I am from the Fountain House in New York City.
My clubhouse is Potential Place.
What attitudes does your community have regarding mental health?
I think our global community has an attitude of anybody who has any mental health issues should still be respected and welcomed into society as any other human being. That even with a mental health issue, we all have the same sort of feelings of being needed, wanted, valued, and having purpose in life. And clubhouses do that for people who otherwise have been marginalized and stigmatized by society. And we create an avenue of opportunity for reintegration into society through our clubhouses.
Because Hong Kong is from a Chinese-speaking community, so among the Chinese people, they think that mental illness is something, a shame for the family. It's nothing good to talk about, and they want to hide it like a secret.
My city is a very socially conscious city, and we are very community orientated. So as for myself speaking, I'm an advocate and I'm very vocal in my city for mental health. So I am a little bit prejudiced in saying that it is very active because I am very active in the mental health in my city.
Where I live, the community is stigmatized to some of the mental health concerns of a lot of people. Recently, the police have teamed up with social workers to address mental health concerns. When most people call like 911 and call the police because people were acting strange in the community, they would call for the police. But now the police don't go in to harm people. They go in more so to help them. That's been a big push by the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in New York. Mm. And that's changed things a lot for people with mental health issues.
So in Norway, we have the Norwegian Work and Welfare Association. What kind of help and support does your country offer to those who fall out of society, are too ill to manage a job, or get an education?
That's a really tough one. There is welfare. There is Medicaid, which helps to pay for medical expenses. But again, most people, even people who don't have some kind of mental illness, it's really important to have an advocate because it's very hard to get the services that you're entitled to because there's so much red tape. And so you apply for something and you wait forever and you have to have someone help you to keep going back and making sure that you have the name of the person who you contacted first to follow through to get those services. And oftentimes it's written in ways that are very hard to understand. So it's really important to have a support system of other people who've gotten through it to tell you how to navigate the system and never try and go it alone because they're complicated. They're intended to help you, but they're very complicated. So.
Clubhouse International has standards related to employment and education and guidelines and a large focus on employment. We're trying to help people get jobs in the community, not subscribe to a lifetime of being on disability, but opening doors with employers to get jobs and have a real life. Same with education. So many times mental illness strikes at an age where people drop out of high school or drop out of university, and clubhouses do a wonderful job with creating relationships with universities to help members go back to school and get a degree, get a diploma, so they can have a career themselves. So we in our international standards, we demand that our clubhouses pay attention to that and provide valuable services to people with a mental illness to help them in employment and education areas.
Concerning the occupational challenges, we have TEs, SE, IE to arrange for the members. And the occupational rate, we are in a very high rate compared to other countries. I mean, especially the TE numbers is quite high. We actually have an education committee in this clubhouse, and we have an advisory board in the clubhouse. The advisory board support every member HK$500 for their education.
How openly can you talk to your friends and family about mental illness?
I talk to my friends very openly about it. I talk to my family about it openly. And it depends on my friends, too. Ones that I really get along with, I can talk to them about mental illness. Mm. If I don't really know them that well, I don't really talk to them about it because I don't want to actually share that with them if I don't know them well enough.
Well, in my personal case, with my family, I can talk a lot about this. They've been supporting me since I was diagnosed, so like 9 years ago. My family is very supportive, it's very understanding. And yeah, I can talk about this with them almost every time I want to. My friends also, but because I have like the good fortune to have really good friends. In my country, well, my community, there's like a problem with appearances. So if you don't have like this social appearance, you just don't feel like you belong to a group. So that's the problem. I mean, you always feel that you don't reach that target, so you don't belong.
Oh, my goodness. What family doesn't have a mental health issue? I was even telling someone today, I have a sister and a brother-in-law that I had them join a house in Maryland, and I can't get them to go. And it's very discouraging because I volunteer at Fountain House with people who are motivated to try and find the community welcoming and supportive, and in my own family I can't seem to get them to go, and I don't know what else to do. So you know, that's, you know, kind of sad, but you know, we're quite open about it. Very, very open.
So
also in New York, you know, if you're not in some kind of treatment, something's wrong with you, because in New York it's very different. I mean, there's a community where being in therapy is not a big deal. It's been going on for many, many years, and so it's more likely that you hear about even children, a lot of children being in therapy and having a therapist and being in groups and things like that. And in New York City also, there's I mean, there are just hundreds and hundreds of support groups for anything and everything you could possibly imagine, that you're never alone. There's always somebody else. Because, you know, there's like 17 million people. So, you know, there's going to be somebody who's got the same thing going on as you do. So you aren't alone. And that's really hopeful. Yeah, it really is.
Which stigmas and taboos are associated with mental illness in your home country?
I would say that there's like a fear of people with mental illness, or like the stigmatic picture of people with psychosis or schizophrenia, for example, that it's like a violent type of people. And I think that it's kind of funny when you look into our community at the clubhouse, like, we have knives out, we have like, there's like, everyone is access to everything. And I think the people who come from outside looking in, they're like, how can you have all these dangerous things with people with psychosis and schizophrenia? I think there's like a prejudice against like that this should be something dangerous due to films and TV series about that diagnosis particular. But I think also people have a lot of opinions about it. You think that a certain person with a mental illness look a certain way, speak a certain way, and act a certain way. And when you come into a clubhouse, everything is turned upside down.
Well, in my country, when somebody says or shows that has a mental illness, they usually are like labeled like a lazy people, or just someone who doesn't want to do the things, or someone who is looking for excuses to not do the things they have to do. So it's really hard to people who suffer mental illnesses to feel free to talk about it and to look for help. We're like outcasts in our country.
Which stigmas and taboos are associated with mental illness in your home country?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's not just... As soon as you have a person who doesn't fit in quite the right way, meaning they aren't wearing the right clothes, or they're, you know, whispering to themselves, or they're not making eye contact, people get scared. And because of that, then they say, well, that must be bad, or there's something wrong, or I don't want to be a part of it. And I think it's more that they're scared and don't understand. But I think that there's such a need for people to fit into these little spaces that you have to wear things a certain way and look a certain way and act a certain way and speak a certain way, that it gets confused with something's wrong, when in fact they're just different. And we embrace all differences.
Have you ever tasted brunost?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to taste it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
This is delicious, man. I'm taking this home with me. This is my girlfriend.
He gets stuck in the mouth. And I love brunost.
It tastes a little bit like between caramel and cheese somehow.
Is it possible to get brunost?
In the US? Yes.
It is, yeah.
And it, in the US they call it ski queen.
Ski queen.
So in brunost is a little bit difficult to pronounce. So they have decided it's ski queen.
I love ski queen. I like this. I'm going to take this home with me in my luggage. They're not going to stop me. They like this.
Oh, that's a big piece. No, it's all right. It's all right.
Here you go. One, two, three.
It's very good. Very good. A little sticky. I love the taste, actually. It's good. Yeah, thank you.
So that was our episode.
We hope that you liked it.
Julia, what did you think about the interviews?
At first, it was a little bit scary because I'm not that good at talking English. But after a while, it got better. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was very exciting to hear what other people around the world are struggling with regarding mental illness. And yeah, it was really exciting. But what about you, Stephen? What did you like?
I thought it was very interesting as well to see how different, like just in the United States of America, they had different answers because they lived in different states. And it was fun. So we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.